our good selves. But I can tell you, the visitors that we are having, that this team is the team that, as a chairperson, I'm relying to themselves. They do have a passionate about sport, but not only the passionate, they are passionate about development. And as we are seeing them, if you don't talk about the development of the rural poor, but also with the sport at large, they do want to see this vision, and also to see that e-sport can be one of those committees who can assist with scourge of drugs, scourge of violence without e-sport. But we can tell you that but e-development is not yet there, and they will fight constructive with you if you don't tell them what are your plans, what are your plans to develop the sport fraternity. So I'm saying this because since we started in this committee, that's what they want to know. Welcome to Sport and Recreation Committee. Welcome to the staff of this committee, which also we miss only one veteran, who was a secretary, Sune. Sune is retired. She has retired. So she was so good in the committee. The experience that she has assisted in this committee, but also we still have a gap in our committee. We don't yet have the content advice. So that's one other challenge to this parliament, that if you want your committee to work effectively, you need to have all necessary stuff in order, that you must not have hiccups. Without content advisor, this content advisor, as chairperson of committees and the members of parliament, we fought that we must have content advisors, because we're seeing that it's a need that we want. Mpumzi, welcome. And I was thinking that we are still hospitalized. Thank you for that. A day you were out of hospital and you were thinking about your work. Speedily recovery, and we still need your skills. We left parliament, you were on and off, you were not well, your family bereavements. So we're hoping that we are all going to start afresh, because this committee has a vision, and it needs everybody that must hands on. Honorable members, we have a new secretary which was introduced this morning to me, and can I tell you that on my right hand side we have got Ms. Kula Zoleka, who has she has been in parliament, and she has been in the area languages and translation. Some of us, we knew her there. With that, somebody next to Ubulelwa, who was my first secretary when I started to be a chairperson of Multi-Parliament Caucus, which I was involved with SADC. that Mr. Kunene assisted me a lot. You are welcome, because you didn't have your own committee today. You joined us. PMG, thank you again that you are still with us. I'm suspecting this is the committee that you love most. Naipsi, welcome back. I've told Mr. Chabalala that you are saying that, you know, we must not harass you. It's Mahlanyana's phone and airtime. The parliament doesn't give you anything. When you need to assist, you care not that far. And he explained that, you know, you are right. Welcome back, fighter. We were nothing without you. We missed you. I'm suspecting very soon we're going to election. We are not going to vanish again. Your contribution is very important in this committee. I'm suspecting all of us will be want shorter days in parliament, but without finishing the laws of country, we can't just go. But I know sometimes commanders, they'll command some of you. My executive secretary, Bulelwa, who's supposed to tell now what she's Mrs. Who, as we are seeing her dressing like that, that's a Xhosa culture. When we are getting married, called Makoti, we are wearing like that.
Mrs. Makogwana.
Mrs. Magogwana. Aye. Don't do that.
But your culture that she must be so shy. Today when I greeted her, she was so humble.
she's always humble, that one. Let me also saying that, Honorable Musi, I'm suspecting that we have recovered fully. The youngest girl of this committee, they made it to be full-time in water affairs, which is Dudumana. She is full-time here and full-time in water affairs. They are on oversight now. So that's the only apology. And also Mr. Nchayiza saying starting in another committee. Let me give somebody who's leading this delegation from our visitors in order that we must start. I'm suspecting honorable members, they've booked flights back home. The work of political parties needs them. So we're thinking that we are about to finish this meeting in order that they must not miss flight. Honorable members, I've accepted the apology on behalf of your good selves. Can I give them to introduce themselves, and then they must take us through. Thank you. Life.
Thank you, Madam Chairperson, for the welcome. My name is Linda Nkomo, and I'm the Chief Executive Officer for LabLife. I took on that role on the 1st of December 2017. Prior to that, I was the Chief Financial Officer for LabLife. With me is Nontutu Zelo Fuzile. She joined LabLife on the 4th of January as our Head of Programs. And so we are the ones who have come to meet with you today to go through the the agenda that you had sent through to us, and to also give you a feel of the plans that we have for the organization going forward. We had sent a presentation through that could give you a feel of where we are, but as you know, with presentations, one works on them until minutes before they are due to be presented. So the one that I have brought one to put up, because I feel it has got more information than the one that we have been circulated to you. So in terms of what I'll be taking you through this morning, it's just to give you again a reminder of who Love Life is and what we do. And that may not necessarily be in the presentation, because in the presentation it was really the focus on the programmatic elements. So it's just to give you a background of who Love Life is and the journey that we have been over the years. And then we'll go into more detail in terms of the annual performance plan, in terms of progress with the specified projects. We'll share with you the challenges and the opportunities, as well as the highlights of the 2016-2017 year. And I have brought a set of the auditor financials for the year end of 2016, just to give you more detail in terms of where the organization is financially. So if I'm to take us through the journey of who Love Life is and where we are today, we've transitioned from being purely an HIV awareness campaign that started in 1999 to create awareness among young people around HIV because of the high rate of death that was being experienced in the country at that time, to being a youth leadership development organization for youth risk reduction. In 2015, we then changed again to focus more on youth leadership development for social change. And the reason for that change is that all the data that was coming out from the ground and from the activities that we were doing around the HIV space was showing that there were some structural issues that needed to be addressed if we were to win the war of against new HIV infections among young people. In 2016 was the International AIDS Conference in Durban that showed that South Africa still had the highest rate of new infections among young people in the 15 to 24 age group. So globally there were about 7,000 new infections a week, and South Africa was contributing more than 2,000 of those new infections. So we went back to the drawing board to revisit whether what we really needed to be focusing on as an organization. And we came up with the realization that we needed to empower young people, continue to focus on empowering young people in a more holistic way so that we could have a healthy nation. And so the vision that we came up with was that really in the next 5 years we want to be a leader in youth health promotion. And we defined youth health in the way that the WHO defines health. So we were not talking about health as being the absence of disease or infirmity. We were talking about it in the broader sense as being a state of complete physical, mental, and social well-being. And sport is very much a big factor in the physical element of the definition of health. So when we looked at what we were seeing ourselves as in terms of a youth organization, health for us was speaking to making sure that the young people in South Africa don't engage in risky behaviors that make them at risk of communicable diseases, but also being aware of the fact that the young people also were starting to be victims of non-communicable diseases. They were not active, they are suffering from diabetes, obesity is becoming a problem, and so we needed to get them active. And getting them active was not only good for their own health from that perspective, but it also kept them occupied and not giving them the free time during which they engage in the risky behaviors. In terms of our mission, it is really to promote social activism for healthy living, active lifestyles, and HIV consciousness among young people through sport. So sport is very much a big vehicle that we're seeing as being able to use when we are dealing with the issues of health for young people. We also continue to use advocacy information.
Just a moment. I'm sorry. Can you lower the aircon? It's reflecting somewhere. Thank you.
So I was saying that sport is very much a vehicle that we're seeing as being part of what we use to promote social activism for healthy living, active lifestyles, and HIV consciousness among young people. In terms of the values that we embrace as a Love Life, it is accountability, so taking responsibility for actions. It is integrity. We continue to be a youth-centric organization guided by the needs of those we serve. To be responsive, responding timelessly to feedback and giving feedback timelessly. And innovation, doing things differently and better all the time. And also sitting back and saying the things that we're doing in 2018, are they relevant to the young people of 2018? Should we be looking at doing things differently? Our strategic objectives are to attain financial sustainability, and I'll speak a bit more to that as we go through the conversation. To achieve operational excellence, to have improved health outcomes, and one of the our health outcomes that we want to see in the areas in which we operate is an increase of 40% in physical activity. And then to effectively manage the stakeholders that we have. Our target market predominantly continues to be in the 10 to 24-year-old groups, and with an LSM of 2 to 8, and a special focus on young women and girls. And the reason we have chosen, we've continued to focus on those age groups is because this, ladies and gentlemen, if you can just look at the screen, is a slide that was shared at the International AIDS Conference in 2016 about what the brain of a young person looks like. And so we, as Love Life, are saying we need to help this brain that's got all sorts of emotions going through it to get to a point where it can manage this stage of its life. And on the other side, we have got responsible citizens of not just South Africa, but of the world. In terms of our governance, as an organization, we've got a board of trustees that is should have 12 members as a maximum. At the moment, we've got about 9 or so members all sit on the board, and the vacant 3 seats will be filled by March. The board has got subcommittees that look after different parts of what they feed into the board. So we've got programs is a very big area of what we do as Love Life. So we've got a subcommittee that looks after the programs. We've got a subcommittee that looks after the governance, audit, and risk. One looks after remuneration and human resources, and one that's looking at fundraising and business development. Our board meets 3 times a year at least, and as well as the committees, but should there be a need to meet more often, they do. In terms of auditors, PricewaterhouseCoopers are our external auditors. KPMG, during the year that we're reviewing, were our internal auditors, but they had to resign from us because they were also auditors of a funder that we had just started doing work for. And so their contract with that particular funder was such that they cannot audit recipients of that funder. So we're in the process of appointing another internal audit company that should be approved by the board in the next month. Now, if we go to your agenda, Madam Chair, and look at the annual performance plan of the Love Life program. During the SRSA strategic period of 2014 and 2019, we still see ourselves as part of our long-term plan towards there, being a strategic implementing partner for the department on issues that relate to young people, and with this particular department for issues that are to do with sport. We see ourselves providing linkages with the National Sport Federations and with the school sport events. And then also offering soft skills to the coaches that work with the young people. Very often a coach of a team ends up being the trusted adult, or should end up being the trusted adult of the young people that he works with. And they start to share their personal problems with the coach. And you find that the coaches normally don't have the life skills or the soft skills that would enable them to help the young people transition through the challenges that they have. They tend to be very technical, very good at what they're coaching at. But then when the young people start to offload, then that's where we found that we need to be offering HIV and awareness training and life skills training to coaches so that they as well can be the go-to person of the young people. Our program offering as an organization is really going to be continue to be divided in three areas. The healthy lifestyle is the one that deals with issues of communicable diseases, including HIV. It's the one that will be dealing with issues of alcohol and substance abuse. It will be dealing with gender-based violence. That's what we call the healthy lifestyle element of our programming. Under sport and active lifestyle is where the activities that we are currently doing for the Department of Sport would fall under. But as I'll show in the plan going forward, we believe that the responsibility for getting people active needs to go beyond just a government responsibility. And we need to start engaging private companies to come on board with making sure that we are able to provide facilities in the communities that currently don't have. Okay. So the increase in the communicable and non-communicable diseases is still being driven by social and structural drivers that are really nothing new. We know that poor health and habits, we know that vulnerability of young people, especially young girls, school dropouts, teenage pregnancies, the inability to go to youth-friendly health facilities is resulting in a situation where there are poor health outcomes for the country as a whole, and is increasing the mortality levels of young people and their risky behaviors as well. So if we look at the SRSA deliverables that we have for the Department of Sport, we're looking at the mass participation element of it, where we're saying whether we be involved in school sport, in youth camps, in using sport for social change and development, the National Volunteer Corps, community sport, as well as multiple health campaigns. And to start to look at how we can use research to support extreme sport studies, where how the people who get involved in extreme sports, the impact that has on their lives. So in terms of the deliverables for the period under review for school sport, we wanted to make sure that there's an increased sexual and reproductive health knowledge among those young people, changing their attitudes and changing their behavior as well. And the performance measure that had been set for us as the department was really going to be the number of young people and coaches reached with the various programs that are offered under school sport. So in terms of the actual performance, there was over 264,000 young people that were reached face to face. And I mean, those are stats that came through to you, but I think just to the 28.9 million that are reached through radio programs is an important number to note. And the fact that almost 200 coaches were trained so that, you know, back to what I was speaking of, getting the soft skills that they need in order to be able to help their young people better. Then if we go to the youth camps, what was required was to see an increased knowledge and skills of the camp masters and facilitators to deliver on the camp objectives. So the performance indicator was going to be how many camp masters and facilitators were trained and how many young people participated. And 2,100 trailblazers will reach. And trailblazers are really the people who will have gone in previous years through the youth camp. And then you want them to go out into their communities and start to be the ones who are energizing, driving, creating awareness around sport in their different areas. In terms of sport for social change and development, really what we want to see happening there is seeing the number of young people who are active, physically active, start to increase. And that will lead to, you know, healthy behavior, healthy behaviors among the participants. If they're busy on the sports field during the high-risk time, and the high-risk time for young people is between the time that they finish school and the time that the parents get home. And that's really the time that we really would want them to be in facilities and playing sport and being active and getting rid of that energy. Because if they're not doing that, then they're engaging, 9 times out of 10, they're engaging in risky sexual behavior, or they're just not active and they're sitting on couches and so on. So during the period under review, 1,221 leagues were formed with 11,442 teams participating in various league fixtures in various codes. The National Volunteer Corps is the improvement of sports coaches' style on general life skills and mentoring. So the indicator was that they should be trained, and like I've already said, they were trained on the program that I spoke to earlier on. The challenge, though, with this particular indicator is that we have a dependency of Love Life, of getting from the database from sports on who those volunteers are that need to go on the training. But that's something that in this, at the end of 2017, past the financial year that we're talking about, there had been engagement with the department to try and close that loop. In terms of community sport, it's really to use our the youth centers that Love Life has as sport and recreation hubs, and really to focus predominantly on basketball and on soccer, on football, so that young people can be exposed not only to life skills, but also taking part in activities that encourage physical activity. The performance indicator for that was the number of groundbreakers, and groundbreakers are really our peer educators, the young people that go through training with Love Life that would be placed at FIFA legacy sites, as well as the number of basketball leagues that would be established within those youth centers. So 13 groundbreakers were placed at the facilities across the country, and 4 basketball leagues were registered with a total of 48 teams playing, whereas 31 football teams were registered with part of 28 leagues at the FIFA legacy side. The Move for Health campaign is to really encourage physical activity in communities as a means of fighting non-communicable diseases. And the indicator is really the number of health promotion events that are organized by our groundbreakers, our peer educators at community level. In the 2016-2017 financial year, there was a total of 111 Move for Health events organized countrywide in the different places where we've got community centers. During the period under review, under the scientific support, we want to be able to contribute towards scientific knowledge on the role of sport and recreation in addressing social ills. So how does sport turn a young person that was, for example, hooked on drugs into a totally different individual? That was kind of the kind of contribution to the body of knowledge that we want to be making as a result of having sport in the communities. The performance indicator will be the number of research studies that are conducted. During the year, we did have a research study done by the HSRC that was investigating the role of extreme sport in reducing substance abuse. While there were positive outcomes from that survey, the number of participants that was used with the sample was so small that we said, let's go back to the table and look at a bigger pool of participants to see whether the results tend to be consistent. So while a study was done, the numbers that we used for the study were really quite small for us to be comfortable with. And we're engaging on how we can revisit the research. What are our challenges as an organization and what are our plans? Our organization has not recovered from the losses that we incurred in the 2015-2016 financial year, when the National Department of Social Development, after we had spent almost 15 million rand of Love Life reserves, did not pay that money back. So that totally eroded our reserves. And maybe for the members that don't have the context of that, normally what would happen is that when we get to the end of a financial year, while we are still contracting on the business plan for the next year, if we've not been told to that the organization is changing the direction of what we've been doing for them, we continue with those activities during the process of sign-off, because you can't get to the end of March and stop all activity and stop staff working pending the sign-off. So normally we'll continue with these activities, and with the understanding that once the business plans are signed off, then we'll be able to recoup the monies that we would have spent. So this was the case with the National Department of Social Development. We continued activities and incurred costs of 14.9 million. And then in September of 2015, that's when we were told that they were changing the strategic direction and we would not be able to recover that money. So that wiped out the resources that we had as a reserve that we had as an organization, and resulted then in our inability to just operationally be on a smooth line and have a very high dependency on the timeliness of receipt of funding from funders. Over and above that, what it also forced us to do was to start start using a bank overdraft that should So what that erosion of reserves forced us to do was to now have a more regular dependency on the use of the overdraft. So instead of falling back on reserves while we are waiting for funders to deposit money, we're now using that overdraft, which as at the end of October last year, we had incurred about 2.5 million rand in overdraft costs. We have had limited success in replacing the funding that we lost through DSD. And I mean, the DSD funding was really a double whammy, because one, there was the 15 million that we lost, and then over and above that, the funding was cut from about almost 40 million to 25 all in 1 year, and then next year we lost them totally as a funder. So what that did was that it forced us in 2016 to have restructuring, two restructures in the organization, because now we had a staff pool that had been catered for to include Department of Social Development, and with them gone, then we had to downsize the organization. Over and above that, our staff costs and our overheads put us in a situation of deficit, because the government funding that we get, there is very strict allocations in terms of what you can use for what. So 55% of what we get is purely for programs, 35%, and so on the program side, there isn't really a problem. But on the overhead side, on the staff cost side, is where we start to have a problem, because if government says, I'll only give you 20 rand towards your salaries bill, and my salary bill is 25 rand, then that 5 rand is going to create a hole. So with that financial sustainability currently not yet stabilized, we sit with a situation where as an organization we're having conversations with our board as to whether we should continue to be an organization that is in all 9 provinces, or whether we should consider scaling down, and when we have stabilized, rescale. So those are the conversations that are currently taking place within the board. Then in terms of the challenges on our facilities, what we're finding is that our facilities are built on land that is owned by the municipality or they are in a facility that is owned by the municipality. And what we've had an experience of with at least two youth centers has been a case where other members of the community then go to the municipality and say, well, Love Life has got all the space and we also need space, and the space, then you know, a decision is then made that, look, they are also community members, what they're wanting to do with the space is also helpful for the community, and suddenly you have space, we've been forced to share space. So what we're now trying to do is to get municipalities to actually donate the land to Love Life, so that when we're constructing youth centers, it's on land that is owned by Love Life and nobody can then come and want to share the land, wanting to do good things, I must add, but it comes at a cost of something else. And this next slide is a picture that I want to show you of where this particular challenge has taken place. So this is a youth center in Limpopo at Linyenye. What used to happen there is that we had facilities where young people could go. As you can see, they were doing aerobics on the basketball court. We were at that same facility last week, and those basketball courts no longer exist because somebody went to the municipality and said they would like to take the part that is used for games and use it as a crèche. So literally when we got there, it's been walled off. Young people can no longer do sport at our youth center in Linyenye. It is basically become an admin block, and they can go there and get computer skills, but they cannot go out there and play sport. So that's one of the challenges, yesterday we were informed that a similar situation is happening to our youth center here in Cape Town. So if we finish early enough, we're going to go past there. But the information we've been told is that there is another organization that went to the municipality and said they want to share the space that we're currently occupying because they've also got a project that will benefit young people. And like I'm saying, the projects that are being brought on board do benefit the young people and the community, but it comes at a cost where a facility like this is gone because now it must be a crèche. The highlights of the 2016-2017 year was the time we spent with this committee in the Northwest, as the committee was on the province oversight business. I truly believe that we've got a very strong partnership with the department at all levels. The sports fraternity does embrace our efforts with the program with the programs that we are doing, and one of our programs, the Coach for Life one, the one that earlier I was saying, to also incorporate the life skills, was accredited through the CAPS Center. In terms of the future plans, and I've really focused on the future plans, I think that would be relevant from the sports element. We did start to engage with the department last year around the possibility of the extended scope of work for Love Life in order to support the department to fast-track community sport and in particular rural sports development programs. And one of the requests that had been put that our board did consider and agree to was that the department would assign a member to the Love Life board. We've also had conversations around the implications of that kind of stronger partnership. It does require that sport does really become a key service offering, and I think with the strategy that we've then come up with, sport is a key pillar in what we are offering, because we're looking at the non-communicable diseases being averted predominantly through scope. Through sport, there will be an increase in the scope and the implementation areas that we currently are in, and that would have required an increase in the implementation capacity. And we did also highlight that we would need to look at investing in a really stronger monitoring and evaluation tool, because we want to be able to see the impact of these things, of these initiatives that are being done within the sports area. I alluded to this earlier on around engaging the private sector in becoming real partners to encourage physical activity among the youth. And some of the things that we are in the process of engaging medical aid, the discoveries predominantly, and the pharmaceutical companies on are being able to sponsor exercise facilities at youth centers and in rural communities. And for a discovery to actually go and sponsor a walk in Limpopo, a walk in communities where people can't actually come up to Joburg to take part in a 702 walk. For the MTNs to start sponsoring those kind of initiatives, not only in Gauteng, but in other provinces, and to look at going deeper into the provinces to give people access and create the awareness and, you know, stretch the spend of where they are spending that kind of money into communities where they can participate in those kind of initiatives. With the onboarding of our head of programs, we are going to be revisiting the continued relevance of our programs around sport and to measure the impact in places of implementation and to engage with the department in terms of whether there should be any tweaks or any changes to what we are doing. We have formed a partnership with the Media House in Gauteng, and we would really want to spread that partnership. And those partnerships with media houses and community radio stations will enable conversations around the young people of South Africa, the health of the young people of South Africa. And remember, my definition of health is not just absence of disease, of infirmity. So having national conversations that result in action for the young people of South Africa. And then to go into the financials, I think I did amend the slides that did come through to you, and I've asked for the actual audited financials to be circulated. But just to just lay the ground in terms of the funding that we are now getting from government, we're getting government funding from the Department of Sport and for the Department of Health. So those are the two national departments that are still funding us. At provincial level, we're also getting, in some provinces, funding from the Department of Social Development. And if I can just take you to the handout that was given, to just take you through the financials of the organization. This is the financial audited financials in December 2016. The 2017 audit will happen mid-February. And I think the next time we meet, we'll then be sharing that information. But for the year ended 2016, we got an unqualified audit report from our auditors, PricewaterhouseCoopers. I think if you go on to page 4 of the report, it just gives you a brief summary of the financial performance of the organization, which is that our grant income decreased in that year by 25%, and the big driver of that decrease was the Department of Social Development. We also wrote down the value of shares that had been held in the mining sector, and when the share prices started to go down, each time we revalued, then those shares went down. Also in 2016, there was a decline in the dividends that we received as an organization from the investment trust that takes part in commercial investments, but as a trust on behalf of Love Life. And when those activities result in profits, then dividends are paid through to Love Life. So that's really on page 4 of the document where you would see that. And then if we go to page 10, it gives us the statement of financial position as at the end of 2016. And the ones that we'd really be interested in is the extreme right-hand side, where is the trust, as opposed to consolidated. And in the trust, you'll see that at the end of 2015, there was property, plant and equipment valued at 28.4 million, and then at the end of 2016 it was valued at 35.7 million. And what happened in that year is that the value of the national office, which is owned by the trust, was revalued. And so it was restated at what is a more realistic value than it was sitting in at the end of 2015. You'll also see that under investments at the end of 2015, there was 9.3 million, and then in 2016, there was nothing. Those were the mining shares I spoke about earlier. At the start of 2016, we then disposed of those to fund the retrenchment processes that we went through in 2016. Those are the big movements that are sitting under the non-current assets. And then under the current assets, you will see next to where it says loan to related party. In 2016, there was an amount of 5.4 million, and then in 2016, it had gone down to 850,000. Towards the end of 2016, the board made a decision to close down the training entity that had been created for Love Life to look at youth development training as a standalone within the board, because they just, with the wiping out of reserves, there just wasn't any more means to continue capitalizing that. So that is really the information that I would want to bring to your attention. In that number. And if we go just a bit lower, under where there's a note 7, accumulated surplus went from 9.6 to 7.6 because operationally we posted a deficit. If we go on to the next page, that shows us the statement of financial performance. Mm-hmm. And in the statement of financial performance, you can see our grant income coming down from 147 million to 111 million. The reasons for which I've already pretty much given you the heads up on. And like I'm saying, in 2016, we then posted a deficit of 2 million rand. I think, Madam Chair, in terms of the financials, those are really the things that one tends to be interested in. Unless they are an accountant, and this is relating to 2016, so I would like to stop there, and I think the next time we meet with more current numbers is where we can really be talking about what is more current. But that's from our end. We've gone through the annual performance and expenditure report. We've shared our challenges and our plans. And that's it from us.
Thank you so much, Ms. Nkomo. Honorable members, this is time for engagement, suggestions, comments. May I take hands? Honorable Mutege, Honorable Bachman, Honorable Musi, Honorable Bev, Honorable Velchom, in that order. Thank you.
Thank you, Jefferson. Greetings to everyone. Compliments to the Reverend AD. Chairperson, very much worried. Oh. Thanks very much. I'm very much worried by organizations like Love Life who are accessible, but they lack funds. And I believe, as accessible as they are by the communities, they deserve to be supported. And if we cripple them by not supporting them, as the board is saying, who else is going to be there for the communities? Because this shortage of funds will affect their performance, which is hitting straight to the communities. And our kids at school. So I think the department or anyone in private and in public who has got ability to support, they must come in to support downline. Because really, so far, I don't know about that, so far, Loveline has never been non-available when we need it. That out there, there's evidence for it. But we have some associations, organizations that are having millions and millions and millions, but you never see them. You will write letters to them, you never get a response. But this is an organization that is always there when you want them, when you need them, but it doesn't help. Who are we looking for? And my question to Lamar is, how do you think you'll overcome this financial constraint? And again, did you meet with the departments to try to solve this problem? The other issue that is killing me inside is the issue of the abuse they get from the local municipalities. The issue of land of all. I think this is not only municipal problem, it's how our leaders are regarding the sport, the impact of sport in the society. Because you can see, even in the budget, sport is their life. Everywhere, sport is just by the way. But if we talk of healthy society, sport is taking a very big impact. So why are our leaders undermining sport like this? We know because through Love Life there's no other way of people making money. That's why they take land from them and they keep grudges in this, because those NPOs can make money through them. That's the truth, an open truth that you must talk. Because Love Life is not a money making scheme for other people, that's why it's so harassing and abuse. My question to them is, again, did you meet the development authorities about this land issue? And what was the outcome if there is? And if you didn't, what are you planning to do? And maybe to the committee, let's try to talk to the department at the office meeting, but really, this is the organization that we can avail evidence that out there, rural communities, we are with them. We don't talk sports on the boardroom and then we finish there. We go down there and then have land with them. We have evidence of all this. So it cannot be allowed to suffer. Let us stop failing our rural communities. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable Bergman.
Chair, thanks very much. For me, I take a slightly different view, and I say that while we're looking at a more leadership and more social development, we're actually moving away from sports. And if you take what we contributing to Love Life, we need to appreciate that what we would want to see in return is we'd want to see mass participation in sports. We would want to see an access or an avenue to sports. And somewhere along the line, it's not translating into that. So it's one thing saying that the Department of Health is contributing more than us, but if you look at the percentages of what our budget is and the percentages of what health is, we end up contributing a lot of our budget to Love Life, where the Department of Health contributes considerably less from their budget. The Department of Social Services seems to have got off totally lightly. You know, they run away from the party, they don't have to come back. And somewhere along the line, that means we need to relook at this. We need to relook at Love Life itself, because as the CEO has said, and I agree with my colleague, that it does, you know, it looks like it does make a difference to people's lives. So this isn't an attack on the program per se. It's an attack on whether it fits into sports, and whether we should be paying for a leadership development course or a social development course, when other committees and portfolios with far bigger budgets just get away without having to make any contribution. What we need from our side, return on our investment, is when we can see huge mass participation. Now, there's a lot of what you do on radio, reaching penetration through radio. Unfortunately, that doesn't translate into face-to-face dealings, which, let's say, 1 5-kilometer race or 1 10-kilometer race can make that you could have almost the amount of people that you've reached face to face in one race. So if you look at a movement such as the Park Run, this is a movement that started for free. There was a few sponsors, Discovery, Discom, and someone else, Mr. Price. And all that happens is on every weekend on a Saturday at the same time throughout the country in all areas. There will be, there's definitely, they have specially demarcated areas across South Africa. At that same time, every week, without fail, besides rain or weather, anyone is free to come and participate in this park run. And they try and get you enthused. They measure your time and they send you an email what your time is, whatever the case may be, just to try and keep you there, you know, to keep you wanting to do this. Now, this is a program that started very cheaply. It's a program that started without any assistance from government. But this is a program now that every park run I've now attended has got around at least an average 1,000 people attending it. Now, if that's one park run and there's all park runs taking place across the country at the same time, we should be looking to partner with such movements. Love Life should be looking to approach parkruns and say, right, well, we want our kids to come on a 5-kilometer walk every Saturday. We want to bring them in, just give them purpose in trying to bring health benefits in terms of sports. Because from what I've seen in the Love Life presentation, we're moving away from sports. Although there is sports being played and there's recreation being done, the focus is moving away, as you say, to a social development or political leadership. Leadership, per se. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Ahmed. Honorable Mhlongo.
Thanks, Chair. I'll be short, Chair. We welcome the presentation. I think it's my question aligned to my colleague. For an example, I wanted to find out how much do they receive from social development, how much do they receive from education, and from health, and then because it's not clear on the presentation exactly how much do you receive, and then I wanted to find out the issue of duplication of programs. Do you see it or not? Because it seems like there's a duplication of programs in that, and we welcome the additional financial resources, but the outcome at the end of the day, you need more human capital. What is the plan?
Thanks,
Chair, for now. Thank you, Honorable Mose. Thank you very much, Chairperson, and thanks for the presentation as well. Chair, I just want to check with the presenters that, you know, for them having started Love Life with the sole reason of, you know, trying to curb the scourge of HIV, and now that it is on the increase, do they perhaps, if Chairperson, I may say that, see, you know, themselves as relevant now that you know what they came in for is not achieved, and perhaps, you know, when they speak of this, I want to believe that they interact with the Department of Health. They sort of give us statistics as to, you know, when you say something is on the increase, you mean like how much from where. It was also indicated in the presentation that among some of their values, innovation is one of them, that they are beginning to do things differently and differently how, Chairperson. But the other question that I want to check, Chairperson, do they at a certain point do some sort of tracking? You know, if I may give an example, that having engaged with the youth when she or he was 16, 17, 18, do you perhaps at 22 try to track that youth to check as to, you know, how the child or the youth is doing in life? My other question, Chairperson, is almost similar to the question of Honorable Muteka of these municipalities that would just, you know, decide to take land from them at whims. I want to check, Chairperson, that when you acquire land from municipalities, what type of an agreement do you get into with the municipality? Is it just, you know, here is the land, take it? I just want to check, Chairperson, and to check whether you make some endeavors, having, you know, taken the land back and giving it to someone else or to some youth. Do you go back to them and try to get reasons from them? Like the issue of erosion of funds. Did go back to them and try to get reasons and perhaps plead with them not to do that? And lastly, Chairperson, you'll agree with me, Chair, that, you know, some of the behavior of our children are caused by issues such as poverty, and of recent there is this thing of blessers and blessees that are taking place. Now, what is it that you do in order to cap that? Have you ever at a certain point, you know, thought of, you know, equipping these learners with life skills? You know, for instance, that there is, you know, a whole lot of unemployment that is taking place in our country. Do you perhaps, you know, teach them how to self-employ? You know that I know that Love is about sport and HIV and blah 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 blah. And thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honourable Song, Honourable Bear.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson. Yes, some of my questions have been asked by my colleagues. On your grant reconciliation, the same as it's not reflecting all the grants and dollars that you receive. Is there any reason for that? Do you do different financials for different presentations for different groups? For instance, you go to the health department and you present, which you then reflect your grant that you receive. Because it's not the first time we're asking this question where we see it's not reflecting on your financial statements. Also, when you do the auditing and so on, or do you just subtract it? Then, how involved are you still with your core program, HIV and AIDS? And how sustainable is all these coaching programs that you do in the community? Do you do evaluation and monitoring to see if it's effective? Is it working? Must we do it again? And what does it do to the community besides just doing all these programs? you would find that many departments and many people come out and do programs in the community, and when you're gone, it just ends there. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honourable Beth. Honourable
Rachel. Chair, I also appreciate the presentation. I've just got three broad areas that I want to make an input on. The first one is just around the challenge of municipalities and NGOs, that it might be useful for you that you should engage SALGA around your frustration. We'll also assist where possible when we interact with them. But the NGOs, because it's a fight for space in deprived communities. So the solution must be found by yourselves and those NGOs. So you need to engage the NGOs. While we appreciate your role, but the solution can't come outside of those communities. So you'll have to engage those NGOs so that they try to find some kind of a partnership. Because, you know, depressed communities, they've got issues. Even government can't tell them what is the solution. Mhlongo knows. I mean, depressed communities are depressed communities. You must be part of them so that the solution is organic. Because even ourselves, I mean, if NGOs are fighting for space, for facilities, the only thing that we can do is to ensure that you should share the facility, and then you look at time, how can we ensure that all NGOs participate, because increasingly what used to be done by LoveLife only, you'll find that there are other NGOs that have since then occupied that space, so they are competing with you. And I can make examples because we have done oversight with you. The second thing that you might have to look at quite seriously is what the Honorable Bergman has raised, the partnership with the sport department. You might have to see whether you can leverage more. But quite clearly, we'll want to see outcomes that are related to sport, either an increase in the physical activity of learners, that will be the benefit of us. So you might have to pursue that. My last third broad area really is around the issue of financial sustainability. Well, I think at one point when you started, LoveLife was supported by a lot of private sector. What happened? So your board might still have to look at why all of a sudden there is no appetite, whereas the same challenge is still there, particularly with regard to disadvantaged areas. Because they are depressed. I mean, all these increases in HIV, AIDS, all of those things are related to the fact that those communities are depressed. But we might have to also pursue other departments like health and education, because I don't understand why education is not funding. Yeah, thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Radho. I'm suspecting so many questions are falling out that I was going to raise this question of other sister departments' contributions. How come that you can have an overdraft whilst you have so many sister departments? So it goes back to what Honorable Mhlongo was asking and Honorable Bergman, that who's giving what and how much. And also, as Honorable Rorhomo is saying, what are other private partnership that or partners that are funding you, are they still there or not? But I wanted that maybe whilst in the slide we don't have one of our goals that we want to achieve as this committee. Would love everyone who's a part of assisting in sport to have a data of what you are doing from rural areas. We cannot not have that data, because the majority of us here, we know how disadvantaged are the rural areas. So as long as we don't have that data, we'll be saying that we don't see the impact in your work from rural areas. So as I'm saying, I'm not sure whether I must say fully that you not yet have impact in rural areas, because I don't have data. So if you can assist us, because there are ones who are suffering a lot. But also this question of municipalities, in reality is that I was amazed when you get a piece of land from municipal, but when now municipal all of a sudden allow other people to take, and you have put resources and money there, if now they wanted to change and do any other thing besides what we have put on, it's the same money that now in a way they are demolishing. To have those grounds and put the lanes, it's money. And now we need a monitoring. We want to be part of cautioning whilst SALGA is there. But as this committee, we cannot afford that things that were built by the government money, they must be demolished by another sphere of government. It's irresponsible. But we don't know why are they doing that. That's why we wanted to check when we are having agreement. For instance, we were from KZN, where we are aware that the lease of the land, of the grounds, which were not part of a lease by municipalities, it was a lease by individual, and we are still querying why is it like that once we have municipalities. So now when municipalities giving you the piece of land saying erect this and that, but all of a sudden you, when you're getting there, as you're saying that you do want to go and check, we need to get that. If we don't get from you, this committee has got a right to ask SALGA what is it. But if you do maybe understand why are they doing that, but really it's not on. But so long, thank you for your presentation. We're looking forward to your love life. But until some of us, you did give us stats, what are you doing out there, especially in the rural areas? I know Honorable Mutega, you once assisted the area where he is coming, and he communicated, he told us as this committee, he wanted also that we must join and embrace what we have done. But I'm saying we have got 9 provinces, so if we can get that information, we'll be pleased. But hoping that some other things that we have challenged, a lack of funds, we are not thinking that you're supposed to have lack of funds whilst we have so many sister departments. And I was worried, I was asking to the researcher, which is Mr. Mdikas, what were you saying about this 14.9 million? And I'm interested that you must repeat that, because we cannot just have monies that are not accounted to. Maybe I didn't get you what you were saying. You were talking about social, I don't know, it's social service or social department, but I've heard you complaining about that. Thank you.
What are we doing to overcome the financial constraints we find ourselves in? We are really now as an organization reached a point of acknowledging that we cannot be as reliant on government funding as we have been. And the Department of Social Development was testimony to the fact that it is a very high risk to take. So we have been engaging with corporates in predominantly Gauteng-based corporates who have an interest in supporting us, but not as a trust. They want keen to support us as part of the economic development, and they supply initiatives, development initiatives. So one of the things that we have done is to form a PTY Limited, a commercial arm that is a PTY as opposed to another trust, who that will engage in income generating activities in partnership with some of the corporates in Gauteng in order to generate profits that then will be able to feed into the trust and to fund the deficits that we find ourselves with. In terms of the breakdown of what we get from the various funders, in the detailed financials, you actually see every single funder that we have presented there. The reason we had just done a grant reconciliation was because it would enable you to then map what we've been given and how we account for it back into what is sitting in the financials. Because our financial years don't tie up, you know, they're not from January. We have a financial year January to February, whereas government is April to March. So there's a portion that we get in 1 year that will feed into another year. And so that slide really was to show how we account for it in order to arrive at the numbers that sit in the financial. But if you would want that each time we meet, we give you a total financial statement, which was not my understanding of what you would require, then that's what we would do. In terms of the other departments, when we meet with them, they actually don't ask us for the financials. So they wait and they will rely only on the audited financials. Those are the ones that they're normally interested in. I think I've just put up the slide again because from where we are sitting, when we're talking about the health of young people in South Africa, we would be very remiss if we don't realize the importance of them playing sports and being active as part of. Unfortunately, the definition is coming under health. And so as a result, it gets swallowed up in that definition. And as the DG raised the very same concern when we went to have a stakeholder engagement with him. But when we are talking about healthy youth in South Africa, We're looking at their physical health, and that is not just do they have disease or not. It's are they active? You know, we are looking at their mental health, and we're looking at their social wealth and health. And so this slide for us addresses all those elements. And one of the questions that was asked, I think, was about empowering the young people. The economically, I think there was a comment around the BLESA phenomenon speaks to the economics of young people. This youth development that is forms part of what we're doing is actually about applying to CETAs for learnerships that the Love Life Training Department can put young people through, so that they gain workplace experience, they gain skills, and are able to get a rung up the ladder from an economic perspective. So right now we've got applications with the services CETA to put young people through different types of learnerships in an effort to look at then their social or economic well-being. The types of agreements that we have with the municipalities actually differ from municipality to municipality. There are some municipalities that will give a letter and say, we are donating the land totally to you. And obviously when that we've got that kind of municipality, there's no problem because there's a document that says they've donated it to us, it gets transferred into the names of Love Life. But a lot of them don't want to donate the land to Love Life or to do a transfer of any sort. So it will be, you can use our facilities, and it's that kind of open-ended agreement. And that's where you get a situation whereby if somebody else goes to the same municipality, they're kind of compelled to give them the same similar treatment. And so going forward, really, we are trying to engage with the municipalities to say, if you are uncomfortable about what will happen if Love Life should drop dead, then we can have a clause that says it will be given back to the municipality to be used by the community. So some of these agreements are agreements that were entered in the early 2000s, and now we sit in 2017, and none of us or the municipality staff were there when those conversations were taking place. In some instances, you'll see minutes, but you don't see the legal transfer that, you know, would have been actioned by those minutes. The attempts at recovery of the funds that we used, which belonged to Love Life, to our department of the National DSD, we did attempt to recover that money. We engaged with the department. We went as far as meeting with the minister to really help understand that what that meant was that people were going to need to be retrenched, and there was a likelihood that they would be queuing up for social grants. And those conversations happened end of 2015, and nobody actually wants at the department has got the appetite to deal with the issue. So we did try to cordially engage. We then got legal advice, and the legal advice was that, look, you guys did this in good faith, but legally you don't have a leg to stand on, because the agreements that we had with the department did not say if we use our own money, they will pay us back or they are obliged to pay us back. So that was a risk we took, and we're feeling the pain of it. But it was really on, you know, on the ethics of this is how we normally operate. So monitoring and evaluation is an area that we are really strongly focusing on strengthening within our organization. We realize that a lot of funders are now not just interested in numbers, they're interested in impact. So we, Osisi Ntutu, like I said, she's joined us at the start of January, but one of the things she's been talking a lot about is that we need to strengthen our programs to be able to measure impact and demonstrate that to funders, because that's what funders are wanting to see, is impact. So there is a focus on strengthening our monitoring and evaluation. The challenge goes back to our funding challenge, that when you want to do that, you need to have the funds for it, and funders will only give you very limited funds to be able to invest in that. Having said that, we are engaging with corporates to see if they would be prepared to invest in that as part of their corporate social investment. Going back to the question of the initial funders of Love Life, what happened to them? Love Life, when Love Life was started in 1999, it was funded by government and predominantly by the Kaiser Foundation. And the Kaiser Foundation commitment was for 5 years. And after that, the government was to take over. And so that is what, so that the initial funders, that is what has happened to them. In the almost three years I've been there, we've not had very many corporate funders. But part of our having to look beyond government funders has been that part of the strategic intentions of this year is to engage with corporate funders. And we're currently in the process of trying to get sponsorships for a business breakfast in March where we are talking to the stakeholders, predominantly Gauteng based, of course, in government, in the private sector, and individuals about the future of the youth in this country. Because when we're talking about the youth of the youth health, we're talking holistically about the future of the youth in this country. So those are some of the initiatives that we are looking at in order to become more sustainable, in order to grow the funding pool, and in order to make the youth, the health of the youth of South Africa, everybody's problem, and not just the problem of the Department of Health from an HIV perspective, and Department of Sport from making sure that they are being kept physical and moving. Then in terms of the manner in which the report has been presented, I think going forward, what really we will incorporate into the report is the targets that are set for us as the department, so that when we are talking about so many people participated in an event, it is against a target of what was the target that had been set for us for those people. And I think that will give a better picture of whether the numbers that we are talking to are numbers that are just numbers, or are there numbers that are talking to, we are meeting the targets that have been set, we are not meeting the targets that have been set. The areas in which we operate in are areas that are defined together with the department, but I have made note of the fact that the rural specific data must be, we were going to try and show it specifically as in these numbers, this is what's happening in the rural communities in which provinces. Chairperson, I don't know if there's anything that I left out. I don't know if there's anything that my colleague would also want to add to the comments that have been raised.
I can make two comments on you asked, one of the things that you asked is whether we're still relevant in the HIV agenda since we started off. As a campaigning organization, now we are into that sphere of operation. We just took out what we thought, and apologies for that limitation, will be relevant for the sports, but if we had to go through other objectives at programmatic level, we still have an HIV prevention component that we are looking at as a standalone. We are part of the implementers of the National She Congress campaign, which was launched by the Deputy President at some point. We work through that with the Department of Health directly, so that is one of the objectives within the DOH support that we are getting. In terms of working with organizations, I mean with other sister departments, as Mr. Bertman had asked, I think with specific reference to Department of Education, we are also working with Department of Education. We are not directly getting support, financial support, in the way that we can classify in this forum, but indirectly we still work through other donors and sponsors doing work with them. With the newly signed off HIV policy for Department of Education, we have now meetings lined up to meet UNICEF. They want us to implement on that policy for youth in and out of schools. And also with the women's ministry, they also approach us to want to work with Love Life. We still have to meet them and see. There is an interest growing from other sister departments still wanting to work with Love Life. So it's part of the where to processes that we are doing, that we may be reporting on in the next time we meet, as to you have the full scope of our work. So one of the many objectives that we didn't mention here is the sexual reproductive health, where we still do a lot of work in terms of ensuring that when you talk about young people in that element, you talk about adults and youth-friendly services in this health facility spaces. That is happening at health level, but the people who are doing there are the same people that are implementing in our sports code, where the Department of Sport is concerned. So we do have different objectives, but all serving under the three spheres that Linda has presented. Yes, we are still relevant. And HIV prevention, from prevention to treatment to care and support, it all cuts across these programs. We don't just say people are playing games, people are doing sport. Within that, the programmatic element and the content that is done there, it's on life skills, it's on youth development, it's on HIV prevention, it's on gender-based violence, it's on all the social ills that are taking place, but using sports as an approach.
Thank you so much. You know, I'm getting an interest of asking, because the presentation, when you were presenting, you were saying that correctly so, that when you are looking at youth, you know that if they are not involved in sport on anything, they will think of drugs or sex. I wanted to check with the this notion of drugs. Are you working, or do you know that as sports department you have said the entity which is looking at drugs, how do you relate with? I'm raising this because one other time when I was distributing a uniform somewhere, some of us for the first time, USAID was part of us seeing these things that we were not aware, we cannot detect in our homes that your kid or your child is taking drugs, because they were bringing all these things that they are used to operate, to do drugs. You'll be seeing some things like foil, and you'll be thinking is the foil that you wrap the food. And they were teaching and making parents to be aware what are these things that they are using. Some things like e-pipes that they are doing. So I wanted to check, are you aware that there is states who's belonging to here, who's bought, and maybe when you discovered in this program of yours of the youth who are involved in drugs, how do you relate with that? Thank you. Honorable Muslim.
Oh, thank you very much, Chairperson. Now, Chair, just quickly, one question that I actually wanted to know the answer of was the one that I asked about, you know, whether do you do tracking of, you know, this use. I'm not sure whether the answer of monitoring and evaluation answered there, but I was solely asking about, you know, having, you know, engaged with learners at a particular age, when they are perhaps out of, you know, the center, you don't have them anymore, do you perhaps try to get their whereabouts and how they are doing, so that you can evaluate whether, you know, you have been doing the right thing by engaging with them previously? I just wanted to check that, Chair. Thank you very much.
Thank you. That's all the follow-ups. Thank you so much.
We definitely have not been working with the directorate at SRSA that deals with the drug abuse. Yeah, that's not been one of our directorates. But I will definitely, we will definitely be talking to the directorate that we do work with and to see how we can synergize what we are already doing for them and incorporate what this directorate is doing. And then the question to the tracking of the young people that we engage with, we do not track those. The numbers would be vast. But the ones that we do track are the ones that are our peer educators, the ones that we recruit at the start of the year. We take them through a development program that enables them to go and implement within and be the community activators. Those ones we have tried to keep a database of them. But it's, I must still say, it is a very rudimentary one and it is difficult to get to keep track of them if they don't give you the contact details following on. But the ones that participate in our activities, no, we've not been tracking those.
However, not for sport, but in our involvement in the Sri Congress campaign, because it is part of that project that we do with Department of Arts, we do have a multi-layering system and a layering approach that tracks an individual that gets services through a unique identifier process. So if that is a formula probably that we can try to see if it works here from the Sri Congress campaign, it's something that we'll be glad to look at because it's something that we should be doing actually.
Thank you, but next time we need to know your recruitment, how do you do the recruitment?
Okay.
We don't have that idea, how did you recruit them? Thank you so much. We were worried when we were saying we are not coming because these members, they are still trying to finish the constituents work whilst Parliament is on.
Mm.
But thank you. It was a good presentation and we'll be trying to call you every now and then and when we are going out for oversight. I'm suspecting we do benefit to be with you. Keep it up, the good work, and we'll try where we want to assist. For instance, I'm suspecting we're all worried about what is going on to municipalities. You spend resources, little resources that you are having, but when now going there, you discover that all the good work you have done is no longer there. Thank you so much. Have a nice journey. Hoping that you still have time to go and look on what we are going to do.